Good afternoon or good morning, America. This is Eugene B. Colson with Mind Controlled America. If you watch television, you go to the movies, you go to church, you are being mind controlled without your knowledge. There are also the other forms of mind control, CIA laboratory mind control, to where they take children, torture and abuse them, and turn them into super warriors, sex slaves, or whatever they want, secret assassins, secret spies. In my case, they made me a super warrior against my will. I fought hundreds of covert missions all around the world, and this show is about mind control. And as well, we deal with Area 51, which is a very big part of mind control. Everything they do there, the genetic experimentation, they're trying to create a false outer space invasion scenario. As well as we have Al, who extensively researched Planet X and the coming takeover of the United States of America by China. Al, are you there?
Yeah.
Okay. And Victor, who has extensively studied, seen, and researched UFOs and the alien abduction phenomenon. Are you there, Victor?
I'm here.
Well, I want to start off the show by explaining to our guests that I got verification that there are over 700,000 Chinese soldiers on El Toro Air Base. That was a closed-down Marine base. They were going to sell to private entities, and I've been told that China's what bought it. Lieutenant Colonel SC, who was on the Daniel Ott Show, told me he was there personally himself 3 weeks ago. He said none of them were over 5 foot tall. They were driving American vehicles, flying American helicopters, and I believe we are under imminent threat to be taken over by China. Tell us a little bit about what you know about this, Al.
Well, Eugene, I did 10 years of research on the Illuminati wrote a book. It was published in July of 04. It's not in print right now. And one of the things I did come across, it was information on the Internet, coincides with your statement about the presence of foreign troops, including Chinese troops, on U.S. soil as well as on the Mexican and Canadian borders. I read contradictory information about it, since it's so horrendous, you know, to accept. I kind of wanted to dismiss it. But I do believe it's possible and it's probably true. Not only are there Chinese troops, my understanding, that there are foreign troops under the auspices of the U.N., that are stationed in various facilities underground and above ground on military bases throughout the country.
Now, Victor, why don't you tell us a little bit about the scenario that, as you understand it, of this phony UFO invasion?
Well, the sense that we have up here at Exopolitics Toronto, Eugene and Al and your listeners, is that we have characterized disclosure, at least we did initially when we began all the research that we've been doing with respect to, you know, the witnesses from the Disclosure Project and a lot of the pilot information that we have, the FAA radar reports that we've been able to gather over the last couple of years, especially with the Stephenville scenario just back in January of 2008. And we've been going along very comfortably for the past, I'd say, 8 to 10 years with the expectation that we wanted to move forward with some type of disclosure and bringing forward the whole issue of how the government has sequestered the information regarding the extraterrestrial presence and why they're here, the number of races, and all of that. Just lately, what we have kind of seen in some of the research is that we've got disclosure one, which will be the kind of thing that we're working towards. In other words, some type of open acknowledgement by the government that some forms of extraterrestrial civilizations have visited the planet, and they're doing so with the within the confines of the manifestation of UFOs, as we normally call them, unidentified aerial phenomenon, which is another sort of acronym for it. However, some of the information that's coming down the pipe right now is that through the UN we've found this out, and even with some of the sighting reports that we've had with the large black triangles and all of the other types of bizarre vehicles that we're seeing, is that we've got a scenario that might be called Disclosure 2. In other words, it is a distinct possibility that the government is, in fact, preparing to disclose information Now, when I say government, I'm not talking about the people in Congress, or I'm not talking about the people in the Senate necessarily. I'm talking about the backroom boys and the intelligence agencies of the CIA, the NRO, and even some of the organizations that we don't even know the acronyms for. These fellows are preparing some type of false flag operation or disclosure where they will freely disclose information that we are being visited by extraterrestrials. But what they'll do is set us up in a fear scenario where we will be put in a position where any type of information that comes down will be a threat, will be designed to be constructed as and perceived as a threat by the general public and the media. And that's the kind of information that we've been getting that just may happen. And we think that the government has been making noise regarding some type of quiet disclosure, and we think that this just may be the type of disclosure they will want in order to set up the scenario of extraterrestrial presence as a malevolent type of threat or invasion scenario. And now we know for a fact that there are benevolent races out there who have come and visited this planet for many hundreds, if not thousands of years, and they've done very little, if anything, to intervene in our airspace in terms of an invasion scenario. So we've got two types of information coming at us, and to be quite honest with you, it's very, very confusing, and we're trying to make sense of it.
Well, Al, I'm going to make a statement, and I want you to add to that. Now, I don't believe there are any benevolent forces out there. I believe Satan always represents himself as the yin and yang symbol, the good with the evil. That's like white witchcraft versus black witchcraft. It's all evil. This has all got a satanic tie to it. And Al, you want to add something to that?
I think what you're saying is true, but I would kind of agree with Victor about the alien presence being a mixed bag. In my viewpoint, there are aliens that are aligned with a satanic viewpoint that are malevolent, and then there are aliens that have visited the Earth and are here and have been here for some time that take a non-interference approach because they respect free will as a law of the cosmos, and they recognize that humans have the ability to choose from between right and wrong. There's a proliferation of negative information about aliens in the media, particularly the abduction phenomenon and how people are experimented upon. And then, of course, you get information from the New Age sector that the aliens are benevolent beings. They are enlightened beings with higher states of consciousness and advanced technology. And so I think that there's probably a combination of both, Eugene, that it seems unlikely that the universe would just be filled with satanic type of extraterrestrial beings, because if you look at the world that we live in, we see that we have a combination of people who are loving and compassionate and enlightened and are good Samaritans. They do the right thing. And then there are people on the other side. So why couldn't it be true for the universe?
Well, I don't want to get off on that so much as I want to focus on the threats to the United States and Canada at this time. Now, I've been told that there are over 4 million Chinese troops on the United States soil at this time. There are 8 million down in Panama, and they have the military bases of the Panama Canal. They have it. And I don't know how many millions are down there. But I would really like to know who's buying these airplanes that the airlines are being forced to sign or sell because of the fuel crisis. I mean, you guys can chime in here any time you want, but to take over an airport, all you'd have to do is fill up one C-47, take out all the seats, fill up the cargo full of ammo and supplies, and you could fit easily 600, 700, 800 Chinese soldiers on one C-47. If they were to land at every major United States airport, within minutes, they would have those airports. And, you know, people would say, well, how would they hold an area? Well, if they took a city, all they'd have to do for supplies is hit all the gun stores, take over the grocery stores, the drug stores, the hospitals. This could be done with 5,000 troops and hold most major cities. but I'm sure they would do it in much greater quantities than that. Either one of you have anything to say to that?
Go ahead, Victor.
Yeah, I must admit, Eugene, that I'm not totally familiar with that type of scenario. However, I'm more than willing to comment on that. And with respect to, I guess in a very, very general sense, I wish I could be more specific about it in terms of the kinds of work that I do with respect to exopolitics and the study of just the whole UFO-ET phenomenon. That if these kinds of things are going on, as you describe, and, you know...
Yeah, simultaneously with what you're describing, what I'm describing,
yeah,
and
exactly.
What else is happening.
Yeah, of course. I mean, all of this stuff, you know, everything... People say to me, how you doing, you know, or what's happening? I say, everything's happening. Everything's happening all at once. And in the time frame that we are speaking right now, you know, a billion things are occurring at this particular point in time, and just by the time I finish this sentence, everything will end, and another series of events will unfold. It just seems that that's the way time operates. And when you get in a government like the United States government, who has been involved in so many different clandestine types of operations, I'm of the opinion, Eugene and Al, anything is possible. That's the way I feel about the kinds of operations that are beyond government oversight. And when you talk about what occurs beyond government oversight within the United States of America, and, you know, being a Canadian, I can well attest to observing this, you know, over the 50 plus years that I've been on the planet. I've watched the United States go from, you know, a world power in a very benevolent way in the 50s and the 60s and all that, and the things have mutated to a point, especially with this last administration, to a point where you literally cannot trust anything that a government official says in terms of what the reality is of what's actually going on. So if you say to me the possibility of large jets landing, you know, with 200, 300, 400, 500, 600 foreign troops on it, to be quite honest with you, gentlemen, I would not be one bit surprised. I would be surprised as to how they could get away with it, but I would not be surprised at the fact that they would be attempting such a move. So that's kind of the general comment I would have on that. In the context of UFOs and exopolitics, I don't see exactly that there's a fit there, but when you take a look at the number of things that are going on in terms of, you know, UFOs and exopolitics and the kinds of disclosure movements that are going on and the activities of government, these things are happening all at once, and perhaps there are just so many different arms of the clandestine operations, the left hand does not know what the right hand is doing, and in terms of UFOs, I'm quite sure that it's buried very deeply within the black budget operations of the United States. So that's pretty much my comment on that issue.
You want to add anything to that, Al?
Yeah, I would agree with Victor's analysis. It's a very complicated and messy issue about who to trust and who not to trust, who knows the truth. Everything is compartmentalized. I don't trust most people in government. I don't trust people who run for office, you know, high office. Either side of the fence, I think they're lackeys, they're sycophants for the powers that be, the organizations that are running things behind the scenes, the Illuminati, call it what you will. And it's a nefarious group. They are global, and they've been hatching this plot for world control for hundreds of years, if not thousands of years, goes back to the Roman Empire. As a matter of fact, my research indicates that the people who are at the heads of state, whether it be presidents or prime ministers, are all related through a bloodline that goes back to King Henry VIII. So this thing's been going on for ages, and I think it's coming to a head. I think it's culminating in what you're describing, Eugene, as tyranny that is going to be just unbelievable.
Now, Victor, your group has interacted with the Canadian government.
Yeah,
and you have been stalled at almost every avenue. Is that correct?
Yeah. Well, that's a very interesting comment. I just finished. We just finished a major mailing of. First, I can start from the very beginning if you want. The kinds of overtures that we've made to the Canadian government and having them at least become open to looking at some sort of dialogue, not necessarily the admission that anything is going on in terms of UFOs and ET presence. That's down the road a bit. Our initiatives have been to enter into some type of, with the Canadian government, some type of dialogue about what's going on. and with respect to all of the information that we have about these craft, with transponders and not having transponders being identified on radar or not identified, I guess the state of affairs is we really don't know what these things are. So what we are trying to do is enter into some type of discourse with our government and dialogue to say, look, we know that you have information on this. The files are replete in the Canadian archives about this stuff. We know that you, NORAD is keeping information. I know that the NORAD is associated with both Canada and the United States. We know that NORAD jets chase these things on a regular basis. And I guess our discussion with them is, we know that you know, and you know that we are aware of what you know. So why not talk about this stuff? Let's get over the hump of secrecy. Let's get by it all and at least talk about what's going on behind the scenes. Now, our letters to them have met with limited success. We've sent open letters to the Prime Minister of Canada. We've also sent a very interesting letter to the Governor General of Canada, Michelle Jean, who is the Governor General, and there's really no parallel, position in the States. She is the Governor General, and she is sort of the Commander-in-Chief and Head of State here in Canada, who represents in the Commonwealth the Queen. And it's more or less a ritualistic position. It's something that we defer to because there's a ceremonial aspect to it. We sent her a letter. She wrote back to us, why don't you people talk to the CSIS, the Canadian Security Intelligence Service, which is the counterpart of the CIA. So she's directing us to the CSIS and also to the Canadian Space Agency. So that's the first positive thing that we had. And the only reason we're doing this, gentlemen, and I should point out to your listeners, is just to begin a dialogue. So on a percentage basis, I think we are about 35% there in contacting the government, which not many organizations have done. We've made some pretty good inroads in speaking to our high-level government officials. And then second of all, I guess trying to put forward some type of rational explanation as to why we want to talk about this stuff. We don't want them to admit things or anything. We just want to talk. Can you just talk to us about this information?
Well, even the Vatican last April put out that notice that if there are UFOs and aliens out there, that if they come to Earth, well, they want to teach them about Jesus our Lord as well.
Of course, yeah.
And that was right behind when I recovered my repressed memories of Area 51. That's the Gray production facility where they make grays, and it takes one clone 15-year-old girl and two clone fetuses to create one of those little monsters. And what do those things eat? They eat people, babies, blood. That's what they subsist on. Now, Al, what have you seen as far as the government cover-ups, especially even the UFO groups, in regard to Planet X?
It's been very frustrating for me. I've been studying Planet X phenomenon for about 4 years now. I've read hundreds of books and combed the Internet. And recently I started contacting UFO groups, including ExoPolitics, here in the States regarding Planet X. Now, ExoPolitics does not want to have anything to do with Planet X here in the States. Neither does the other groups that I've contacted. It's anathema. It's censorship. So there's not necessarily cover-up, but just avoidance of this issue, and I don't know how much, Victor, you're aware of the efforts that have been made. You probably are aware that there's been efforts made as far as disclosure from the government, pressure from the various UFO groups, and they've gotten absolutely nowhere. So, in my personal opinion, is that it's a futile effort, and of course you're welcome to, go down that path, but I think you're wasting your time. We're not going to get answers from any government. Go back to what I was saying earlier about who's in control of the government. The government, the people in government, whether it be Congress or Parliament, they're puppets. Okay, they don't actually call the shots. They are directed by other organizations. For example, the CFR, Council on Foreign Relations, Bilderberg Organization, Knights of Malta, high-ranking Masons. These organizations have been around for ages. They're in. They occupy all positions of power within within society, whether it be in government, the economy, banking, law, medicine, education, sports, all aspects of our cultures. And this
Victor, what do you know about Planet X?
Well, just what I've read. I really have not researched it, to be honest with you. I know that there's a the cyclical appearance of the entity, whatever it may be it a planet or something that's constructed. I can't say that I have any large expertise on it. And as I said earlier, when you're talking about the kinds of things that are happening, not just here on the planet Earth, when you talk about the kinds of things that have happened in the past, so I'm talking hundreds and thousands of years ago when the Earth was just beginning to make its way up the ladder of people walking upright. That kind of stuff is very important because the kinds of things that went on as our planet evolved, I'm totally convinced, gentlemen, that our planet has been visited for literally hundreds of thousands of years before. I mean, we are just we are neophytes on the scene of trying to make headway into reaching out into space, and there are many other civilizations that have been there for billions and billions of years, or at least millions of years. And I'm convinced that these off-world civilizations, be they on Planet X or whatever Planet X means, these civilizations have somehow, and I think this is the key point, gentlemen, they have somehow figured out how to avoid or eliminate what I call extinction behaviors. Right now, let me go back just a second. Right now, Planet Earth is involved in a whole myriad of extinction behaviors. Number one is burning fossil fuels, okay? Number two is the ethnic and religious violence that's going on the planet. Okay, number three is the way we do not want to take care of our own backyard. Our environment is going down the tube very quickly, and our economic system is perpetuating that, as is our government. We've lost control. In other words, we are involved in a whole series of what I call extinction behaviors, and if we keep on going down that path, we are going to become extinct. And all the things that are happening, the wars, the perpetual war economy, is going to wipe us off, and I think wipe us off the planet. And
speaking on the economy, and then we'll bring Al in on that, Russia has got plenty of money. They're economically sound. China is an economic and military powerhouse. They control and own a vast portion of this United States. And when we're taken over, and they've been trying to put this nation on a martial law footing, and when the United States goes down, so does Canada. And I believe it's going to be a scenario involving Mexico and Latin America help take over this country. We have millions of immigrants from China, Latin America, and other countries in both the United States and Canada, and even if they weren't part of the operation, to save their collective butts, would they join on a heartbeat? You bet. Now, our economy is in the toilet, and this president is doing everything he can to ruin this nation. Now, when I'm talking about the Mexican scenario, if you remember, it was last week or the week before, as soon as Congress adjourned, the Mexican trucking bill was expiring. It was ending. So the president just executive ordered it. Nope, we're going to extend it for another 3 years, and those trucks can't be inspected or whatnot. So we've got 8 million Chinese down there in Mexico, not including how many millions are down there in Panama Canal because they run it and own it. They could truck those within 3 days. They could be anywhere in the United States, as well as having the scenario of taking over the airports, as I earlier discussed. And there's also the underground tunnels where they have the anti-gravity tunnel system, which is based on the Earth rotating around the traveling compartments at 1,450 miles an hour. So they can pop up within, half hour, hours from anywhere in the world. So when we're taken over, not only are we going to be taken over from within, without, from beyond, and everything is in place right now. Al, you want to add to that?
Well, what's scary about the whole thing that you just described, and I think everything you said is valid and credible, is that the population in general, the American public, is so much in the dark, being fed, a lot of baloney and being distracted with pastimes and misinformation and disinformation. And those who tell the truth are debunked and ostracized and alienated. So we're really up against a huge monster in terms of people not either not knowing or being misinformed or becoming part of the enemy, so to speak, in terms of the way they think. Because if you dare to challenge the conventional wisdom, then you're branded a lunatic, or you know, you're not heard. You're not even given airtime. So that's one huge problem. But if we go back to the economy and who runs the economy is run by the banks, by the international bankers, and it's not run by the Federal Reserve. The U.S. economy is not run by the Federal Reserve in the sense that the government has any control over the situation, because the Federal Reserve is comprised of private banks.
Well, the Federal Reserve is part of the World Bank. I mean, if you look at the guys that own the Federal Reserves around the world, they are one and the same.
Yeah, they're all connected. That's what I'm saying. There's an international connection as far as the economies of the world. The same kind of folks that are dragging down the U.S. economy are bolstering the European economy. So that's what we should focus on, who is in control and what is their agenda, and who's in control are, as I stated earlier, it's the blue bloods, it's the royalty that have been in control of national economies for eons. And we should focus on who they are and what their agenda is and how we can expose them so we can, as a people, gain more control over our lives.
Well, our only situation in all of these scenarios is that God is ultimately in charge. And he will only allow what he allows. Now, Russia is showing their military might. There were some things they were trying 2 weekends ago. I'm not at liberty to say what they were, but I will add, I did have a house full of Secret Service and FBI agents interrogating me. And the guy sat there with, it was a secret agent who visited me, or Secret Service who visited me in March. And from that meeting, additional mafia arrest warrants were put out. The guy at the top of the list was John Gotti Jr. And he was captured in Miami last week. He's going to spend the rest of his life in prison. And from my meeting, there were additional 350 arrest warrants issued beyond the 167 that were captured in Sicily, New York, and New Jersey, which an action I was involved in starting last October, is what initiated that. They were trying to get together, and they were going to kill some very prominent people in the world who are good people to jumpstart the tribulation. Victor, you want to add anything to that?
Well, that's... That, you know, when you talk about those kinds of activities, Eugene, it literally boggles my mind when I think of the number of things that are going on. And I just want to go back to a couple of things that Al just alluded to, and to focus on the kinds of individuals that have usurped control over literally all of the situations. And you know, I can understand, you know, your reticence, Al, to perceive that, you know, looking at government information or asking government for clarification about UFOs is pretty much a lost cause or an uphill battle, and I can well understand that argument. I feel that way quite often. But I think one of the things that we have to look at in terms of how the banking system, and as Al described it, as the blue bloods who are in control, I think one of the things that we have to look at is the premeditated ignorance that all of these institutions, be it media control, be it the pastimes that we enjoy, be it the issues that subsume the younger folk in our generation, and even the baby boom generation, we're fixated on the price of oil, we're fixated on mortgages, we're fixated on any number of things. But I think if the general public began to understand, and I think it's a very key point for your listeners to understand, if you as a listener, if you as a person who thinks you are a citizen of whatever country you're listening in, if you think that you have not in some way programmed to believe that a certain series of events is going to occur, that your life is sort of a freewheeling, sort of exponential experience of free will, you're sadly mistaken, because so many things are beyond your control that the planned and premeditated ignorance of media and of the sort of the clandestine governments have controlled things for many, many hundreds of years, going back, as far as, the Normans in Europe, that kind of thing. These things are prevalent in our society today, and they become so good at it that all you have to do is listen to the nightly news to see how you are controlled. It is the control of reality that these sovereign states have sort of have imposed on us to believe that there's a certain reality going on, but in fact, there's an amount of control that's occurring that will, it's like an iceberg. It's sort of, two-fifths above the surface and the other three-fifths are below. We will never get to the bottom of what's going on unless we recognize the fact that we are being premeditatedly sort of ignorant as a population. And I think once people get that in their mind, that they are being duped into believing certain things and that the ignorance is part of their own intellectual reality, I think that intellectual reality will soon go into cascade failure.
What I'd like to add to that, you see, I had Stephen Jacobson on, I believe it was 4 weeks ago, and he discovered while he was working in media on documentaries and editing films in Boston and New York that everything is mind control, and we didn't even get to the part of video games.
Well, Yes. Being a former educator, gentlemen, I had a former teacher here in Toronto and an elementary school principal for the business of education for 35 years, and you watch young children, be it as young as, grade 4, grade 5, grade 6, these children are being programmed. Every time they pick up these machines and they sit in the back seat of their family car while the car is traveling up to the cottage, or if they're sitting at recess, they're playing these games, and they are being imbued with a value system that is a form of deleterious mind control, unparalleled. Even television didn't get to the roots that these particular video games are getting to. They are teaching our children to be killers.
Right.
I'll say that again. They are teaching our children to be killers.
And what was the first big video game that came out 30 years ago by Atari that everybody had to play? Space Invaders.
That's right, Space Invaders, exactly.
Right.
What you want to add to this, Al? You have any comments?
Victor's right on. I was also an educator. I was a college teacher. I taught psychology, sociology, and political science at the college level for 15 years. And I got out of it. One of the reasons was because I felt like I was spoon-feeding information to students based on archaic notions of reality, and it was really an indoctrination process. Of course, I needed to work, and I enjoyed a certain amount of freedom, as a college teacher, and I got my 2 cents in, but I had to follow the text, and the information in the books are totally irrelevant to what's going on today. And so, the populations throughout the world are brainwashed. They're indoctrinated from day one. And the parents, too, of course, because they're hooked into the media. And the media, again, is controlled by these folks that I was making reference to earlier, Rupert Murdoch, Disney, people like that, the conglomerate.
And Disney is heavily involved into the Monarch programming. I mean, you take a lot of the Disney movies like Snow White and the Sleeping Beauty and so forth, shows like Wizard of Oz, Alice in Wonderland. All this is heavily, they use this heavily in ritual abuse and programming children.
Oh, there's absolutely no doubt about it. And it's really interesting to see, and I thank you all for sharing the fact that you are an educator, because it sort of creates a bit of a link for me in terms of watching the young children. I was in the elementary panel here in Ontario, and I guess you were sort of dealing with older children. Or older, students. I watched young children come into the school system being parented by other children, if you know what I mean.
Uh-huh.
These young 4, 5, 6-year-olds would come into the school, register, and their parents being, in their mid to late 20s, early 30s, they're basically children themselves. And they're a product of a generation who began sort of looking at, you know, the tail end of the big television boom and the new onslaught of video games. So basically what you had is programmed parents bringing up, you know, programmed children. And so you've got a second generation of youngsters coming up where their attention span is virtually zero.
Mm-hmm.
And then based on that fact, you can get that child to believe and plug into anything, be it Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs or be it these sophisticated video games. And I think the
or cartoons.
Oh, exactly. It doesn't matter what it is. You're right. It doesn't matter what it is. And I guess the fine line here is the system, whatever it is, whatever that system of mind control that you described, Eugene, or whatever it happened, programming, call it what you want, it is so highly sophisticated, it plays now on everyone. It plays on the older folk, the older generation, because the older generation thinks everything is fine. You know, they're going to collect a pension, and they're just going to move out of here, and everything is great. So they're not in a position to do anything in an activist way. You've got a baby boom generation who are involved in their SUVs and putting their children through college, and memberships at the golf course, and mm-hmm. things like that. And then you've got the younger generation who are completely programmed by the video games.
Right.
And they really are. And even soap operas, you know, these children are fixated on the kinds of celebrity adulation that mm-hmm. is so deleterious to intellectual acuity and development. I'll tell you, whoever has designed the programming for this has done a very, very good job. And maybe it's not as, you know, orchestrated as I'm describing, but it is
it is a very
well designed format of programming.
Now Al, you're a college teacher, did you see much evidence of dumbing down of the college level students?
Yeah, but again, I was part of the problem, you know, and teachers have very little liberty or freedom to choose the curriculum. It's dictated to them. And so we have to use texts that reflect the so-called scholars and academicians, you know, and the historical bullshit.
This was back in 94. I go to this coffee place to get coffee, and a gal was going to PCC, and she was taking a course on the Constitution. And I said, "Let me see that book." And in the book, they're talking about the Constitution. Not one copy of the Constitution is in there, and it said, quote, the government makes rules that we must live by. There was nothing about limitations on government and taking away personal freedoms. The whole book was designed to get those college students that we have to do what we're told. And, you know, the dumbing down of America, the taking over America, this is all tying with the takeover of both these countries by invasions from within, without. Now, Victor, all the alien abductees that you've met throughout your life, would you agree that any of them, or would you say any of them said anything that happened to them up in those things was good?
Let me just think about that for a second. Now, I've dealt with, On a general level, I've dealt with about 24 individuals. That's just sort of the generalized. And of that 24, the discussions that I've had with those 24 or so people, most of which have been a very general kind of discussion about, you know, problems they've had, seeing lights in their bedroom, so on and so forth. But of that 24, I would say about 6 or 8 of them have had absolutely intense, really authentic, very lucid experiences, okay? So using the figure of about 8 individuals, and I could probably name them in my mind as I'm going through it, and of those 8, I would say that 2 of them got by the fear, the anxiety, the hurt, the pain, the manipulation, to go on to feel that something beneficial happened to them. In other words, they became some way related to or sort of in sync with whoever their abductees were. In other words, feeling relatively, and I underline that word, relatively safe going through the experience. That's 2 out of 24. The others that I've talked to are manipulated, hurt, going to extreme amount of pain, They've gone through trauma that's unending, still cannot figure out exactly what has gone on and what will go on with their lives. So that sort of leads me to believe that, generally speaking, whatever the experiences are not reconciled by most abductees. And those that do reconcile it, in other words, bring it into their own reality as an experience that's relatively benign, is not there's not a high percentage there. So I guess to answer your question, Eugene, it's not a good thing. And these people were taken against their will, and things done to them against their will. And I just cannot understand why any sentient beings or intellectually ethical beings would want to do something like that, if in fact it's happening at all. But I sense that something is happening, and these people have been through some very, very traumatic experiences that I can attribute to perhaps off-world civilizations. So,
well, I'm going to step out on a limb here. I believe recently a Chinese takeover was imminent, and it's been thwarted. Now, I do know a number of these people that are running this government, who are Illuminati and Jesuit, which is all satanic-based, are repenting and going the other way. And the person that you wouldn't believe the most is the least likely candidate is, in fact, the one who has the most power right now. And if they're going to go to the trouble to fill my house full of Secret Service and FBI guys, but I have to add, they're in my house all the time. I mean, I finally figured out how they were trying to poison me. For years, they were injecting me with alcohol. Now, I'll drink my six or so beers and have a few mixed drinks a night. But on top of that, when I was asleep, they were injecting me. What I saw at Area 51, it was torture. It was mind controlled. And I'll venture to say that those two people who thought that they got to the point to where something could be good happening to them, number one, they were kidnapped. They were taken without their will. And they probably finally came at peace when they were at a hypnotic mind control state. You want to add anything to this, Al?
My understanding of the abduction phenomenon, I've read many, many books about it, is that it's mostly malevolent. And there is some government interference, that is from the military and the secret covert operations on the part of the CIA, NSA. And as far as citizens being abducted, it's not strictly an alien phenomenon. As a matter of fact, there's probably a collaboration, or they're in cahoots to some extent. Now, the motivation for abductions, as far as aliens are concerned, it's a mixed bag. One of the motivations, obviously, for those who are familiar with this topic, is genetic experimentation.
And that's what I saw extensively at Area 51. And Area 51 isn't the only one. I believe there's one in Australia. I believe there's one in China, Russia, and Europe. And I've been told that from a very reliable source. And then there might be multiple ones of those. Now, the one that I saw was primarily the Gray production facility. But they did in the bowels of the thing, they had genetic experimentation, crossing man with animals, insects, and other things, creating these torture monsters. They will do anything they can because there is no oversight. And the problem we have with our governments is that are working in conjunction with this is they don't care what happens to us. If this nation and Canada are taken over primarily by China, all you have to do is go back to the History Channel of what was done to people by the Chinese in Korea, or what the Japanese did in Manchuria, or what the Cambodians, which I've seen myself personally at the Mayaguez rescue, what they do to people. They are like these ETs. They have no morals. They have no compunction. And once you do it a few times, they're used to it, and they're godless. Everything I saw about the ET or the Grays and Area 50, they're godless. These are supercomputers. They're biological weapons. And if we're being attacked from within, without, at every angle, you know, what are we going to do but pray to God and arm ourselves? And I'm currently armed. I'm ready to rock and roll.
Eugene, I don't think individually we can be successful and resisting any kind of takeover, whether it be extraterrestrial or within our borders or, you know, any nation. I don't think we can successfully defend ourselves individually. We have to unite.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, I mean, I can't defend this whole neighborhood. But people have been dumbed down, and I want to get comments from Victor on this one. They've dumbed us down to religion, to where Christianity is, you're a wimp that's get the crap beat out of you because you're to stand there and turn both cheeks all day long, when in reality it was a tough guy religion.
Well, in terms of Christianity?
Yes. You know, they've wimped us down. We've got to be forgiving when nobody repents.
Yes. Well, I was brought up a Roman Catholic all of my life, and I, you know, being of Italian background, my mom and dad, you know, went to Catholic school all of my life, and the kind of catechetics that was thrown at us from, you know, kindergarten right through to grade 12, it was just insidious. And I you know, was brought up in a church that told me to obey, to listen, to believe, understand, and just blindly follow. And
just like the government.
Of course, yeah, and that has an effect on you. I mean, but then when you see the kinds of things after a while, when your eyes are eventually opened to the kind of taboos that the government is putting forward, and you see what I think the good thing is here, when you see the inconsistencies, when you see what the church is saying and the way the world operates and the way the economic system operates and the way we are keeping the poor and we're keeping individuals, as you say, dumbed down. I like to use the word of the production of unknowledge, the production of ignorance. And when I look at that whole phraseology of the production of ignorance, what we're doing is we are, I guess, in a way, not allowing people to understand an epistemology of knowledge. John Mack used that word a lot. In other words, a body of knowledge that will free you, that will allow you to understand the way the world really operates. And there are very, very few conduits through which we can really understand how the world operates. I mean, if you go to the nightly news, that's not going to tell you how the world really operates. It'll tell you how the economic system or the Bilderbergers want the world to operate, but it will not talk to you about how the world really operates. So getting our listeners, and I go back to what Al just said, that individually we're helpless. I think we have to provide an educational process for the general population in the North American continent to begin with, that their lives are being manipulated. And as soon as we get them to understand that, and as a teacher, you've got to go in different gradients of understanding. You just can't go to the top rung right away. You have to move people through a rubric of understanding that, first of all, what you see is not real. And then why is it not real? And who's manipulating what is not real? And then once you get people to understand that they're being manipulated, we could have an intellectual revolution on our hands if we do it properly. And I think maybe that's why we're having this discussion. And people.
Well, Al, why don't you tell us what you know about the Illuminati, how they recruit, how they hide, and just some of their idiosyncrasies.
The Illuminati has been around for hundreds, if not thousands, of years. It goes back to Egyptian civilization. That's why we find Egyptian symbolism on our dollar bill. The pyramid, the Eye of Horus, what is that doing on our dollar bill? And because it has roots in Egyptian society and culture.
And well, and to add to that, it's really the all-seeing Eye of Satan.
Yeah, supposedly Eye of Horus. But the Illuminati, I thought at one time the Illuminati was at the pinnacle of power, but I've changed my mind in the last couple of years. I don't doubt that they wield a lot of power and influence throughout the globe, but I think that they're answering to another power, which is the ET presence that is satanic. And there are satanic ET races that are functioning on the globe and, you know, in our solar system, which is why I've investigated Planet X recently. But the Illuminati, as I said earlier, controls all facets of society.
Well, the Jesuits are working in conjunction with them. They're actually equal powers.
Uh-huh. And it goes back to what Victor was saying with being dumbed down or indoctrinated with whatever you want to call it through our school system. And the fact that most people are economic slaves. You know, they spend 40 to 50 hours a week earning a meager income, most of us anyway. And there's a greater disparity now between the rich and the poor. So really, the rich, the super rich, are comprised of the Illuminati. And they make decisions as far as who is in control of what part of society, whether it be law or the justice system, politics, economy, education, the whole nine yards. They're the ones who are deciding who's going to be pulling the strings, who's going to be the little puppets. And so the Illuminati are the puppet masters along with these nefarious alien groups.
Well, and also they're controlling the election, but well, they're not, they haven't completely controlled this past election. I know as far as I knew, Hillary was the keynote speaker at the Bilderbergers. She was chosen to be president, but after they tried to kill several of these people, pressure was put on Bear on February 11th, and the elections came somewhat free. But I was watching the count. I was told West Virginia and Kentucky were going to be rigged for Hillary. And I was watching the count live on MSNBC live. Obama has 140,000. Hillary has 151,000. Then it comes back 5 minutes later. Obama's got 151,000. Hillary's got 160. Next time it came back, Obama was 140,000. And I believe it took him the rest of the night to get back up to that 150,000. And it was right there live in front of everybody. Nobody said a word.
Can I comment on the voting system? First of all, Eugene, our voting system has been rife with fraud, at least since the Kennedy administration, and perhaps before then, there's been vote fraud. Now, my understanding is Diebold and Sequoia are corporations that control the voting machines recently, within the last perhaps 20 years, and the vote count is manipulated at all levels.
There was a report last week on your point that on that, and that they had a lot of problems with the voting machines in Kentucky. They didn't come out with an accurate count.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the count's predetermined. So we're really going through a charade when we vote. Voting is the least effective political thing you can do.
Well, I have some inside knowledge on this election that I'm not going to reveal how. I believe when it's cast for the head of this country, that it's going to be a free one, because there's been a lot going on behind the scenes. As I've explained to both of you individuals, the gross mass ceremony they did to my family on July 1st, 2000, where the 6,500 top Satanists in the world were there, watching or abusing my wife and kids with fecal urine, put them in a pit, and they crapped all over them and urinated all over them. That was the final thing. I've been praying since 2000 that these people die of pancreatic cancer, and several thousand of them have pancreatic cancer now. I've been told by a very good source that Hillary has syphilis and cancer. Bush Sr. has pancreatic cancer. Junior has prostate cancer, and on it goes. And the head of the AMA is dying of pancreatic cancer. That guy that wrote the book, The Lecturer, he died of pancreatic cancer at age 47. And God is out of his box, so there is hope there. You want to make a comment on that, Victor?
Well, it's tough to look at the. I guess what you're saying, Eugene, is what goes around comes around. Is that what you're saying?
Oh yeah, yeah. I mean, these people are getting their comeuppance, and like I said, Bush has been trying to put this country under martial law so he doesn't leave office, so he can't be found guilty of his war crimes, his kickbacks. Unnecessary war in Iraq.
Yeah. I guess what we're saying, gentlemen, is that we need a reawakening of the general public in North America to an understanding that something very, very different is going on from what they're really perceiving. Now, how you go about saying that, how you go about characterizing that, and as soon as you mention any institution or any systematic enterprise, be it the economic system, whatever, you say education, you've got two streams. You've got the programming stream of education, and you've also got the programming stream or the non-programming stream of enlightenment. You're trying to educate people to understand that they're being manipulated. You've got the economic system that says, okay, fine, you've got to get a mortgage, you've got to get four lines of credit, and you've got to have five credit cards, And then there's the other stream of consciousness within the economic system is that we have to revitalize or regenerate or renew or reestablish a real economic system that will be a true redistribution of wealth. You take a look at the media. You have to look at the media. What's the media saying on a day-to-day basis to program us and to give us the wrong messages about what's going on? And then you have the media who has the ultimate power of really telling a full story if they wake up to the fact that there is a real story. So you can go and delineate a whole number of, you know, social institutions, be it the medical profession, be it the political system. There's always two streams of information, and once you, well, at least two. And once you get people plugged into the alternate stream of information to say, listen, you have to reevaluate what you're being told on a day-to-day basis and understand that that's not the real story. How do you get there, gentlemen? I don't know. I really
There's two people on CNN that actually are telling more of the truth than anyone else. One is Jack McCaffrey. The other one is Lou Dobbs. Are these guys connected with the big boys at the top? Yes. Well, are they probably Illuminati or Jesuit? Yes. Do I believe they were going through some form of repentance and trying to turn this country around? Yes, I do. You want to add anything to that, Al?
Well, I don't watch much TV. I'm pretty frustrated with cultural entertainment. Even so-called alternative media, as Victor is referring to, I find that they hedge their bets. You know, they don't hit it on mark. I think that they're afraid that if, in fact, they talk about the raw truth, as we're talking about it, that their advertisers, you know, will pull the plug. So it all goes back to who's supporting the program, you know, how they get their funds, and they got to appease those folks. So I don't think there's much free press or free media in the sense of enlightened, informed, realistic information out there. You got to really dig. I think you can find it on the Internet, and then, of course, that's a mixed bag. So it's very difficult. You have to have fortitude and take the initiative and realize, as Victor was saying, that we're inculcated by disinformation and misinformation and lies everywhere we turn.
Well, Victor, in Canada, do you have the same problem with Walmart taking over the retail sales
do
in the United States?
Definitely. There's especially within our small towns, the big city, the largest centers like British Columbia, like Vancouver, Toronto, Montreal. Walmart is not quite as insidious, but they're there. We find that the Walmart faction is really taking over in the smaller towns. So what will happen is a small town will have a series of hardware stores, bakeries,
lumber,
whatever it is, you know, the local groceries and everything. And then they'll set up a mall outside. Some large corporation will buy up a plot of land and erect, you know, four or five what we call block malls, where these huge buildings that just sort of appear, and some of them are Harry Rosen's and sports outlets, and then all of a sudden a Walmart will appear that wipes everybody out in a small town. And we're going through that in Ontario, so there's a lot of really, really bad feelings about Walmart here in Canada, and they're really making a strong attempt to take over, especially small town Ontario.
Well, you have the same similar problem with Home Depot. You go into Home Depot, and most of the hardware and most of the appliances are made in China.
Of course.
Mm-hmm.
And they wipe out the lumber stores, you know, the hardware stores, the paint stores. We're all being mass manipulated and taken over economically, setting us up for an invasion. Because they turn the water off, they turn the communication off, they turn the gas off. We have no very limited communication. We don't know what's coming. And when these guys come rolling down the streets in our trucks, and where would they get the transportation? They get it from us. They just set up roadblocks and confiscate everybody's car or truck. And boom. They don't need to import all the transportation over here. It's already here. They take over the armories. They don't need to bring in vast amounts of tanks. They're already here. While our military is over in Afghanistan, Iraq, and possibly maybe over in Georgia.
So what you're saying is that basically, Eugene, they're building their own infrastructure inadvertently and behind the scenes while we just sort of sit and watch.
Well, we're watching HBO TV and playing video games and watching the Olympics. Now, what I said about China taking this country over, I believe the Olympics is a big setup. And there's a possibility, it's a very strong possibility, that they're going to do another 9/11 pony thing and take over then. But as I said, there are some very good people in the government who are running things, and they don't want this. Any closing thoughts, Al?
We have to come together, those folks who are in the know, you know, not just sporadically, but on a fairly consistent basis. We have to network. We have to communicate. We have to organize. We have to plan, and we have to inform the rest of the folks who are in the dark.
Yeah. Well, we've come to the end of our show. I want to thank Al for being on, and Victor. We did this show totally on the fly. It was not pre-scripted at all, so you answered honestly. And our only solution to this, we can do what we can do in a limited fashion, but we have to turn to God, and he's our only real solution in this. Because I know he can put stops on them anytime he wants to. So this is Eugene B. Colson at Mind Controlled America, signing off. Goodbye, gentlemen.
Goodbye.
Bye-bye.